Ramsey TV.
Well, I really got my ass kicked after yesterday's video on the preexistence of Christ, but not in a way that you might think. This is going to entertain you. It'll really entertain you. I'm going to read a comment on the video. Speaking of comments, there were over 250 comments in less than 24 hours and over 1,000 views in less than 24 hours. I don't do this for the views or the comments, but I struck a nerve out there, and most people are in support of the preexistence of Christ. I'm happy for that. I have some new insight into this topic based on some comments. I think this will be really helpful at the end. Please stay tuned to the end, because I have some, I think, insightful comments about the Trinity and what the Trinity, what part the Trinity has to play in this. There were some really great comments and questions. And by the way, some people write me, they've written me in the past and say, you deleted my comments. No, I don't delete comments. I don't delete any comments of people that disagree with me ever. So it's a YouTube issue. It's not me. I think the dialogue is important. I'm a public figure. My teachings are public, so anyone can comment. I mean, I could close the comments, but no, this is part of the fellowship. This is part of the fellowship. You need to know that you're part of a family, and we don't all agree on everything. And that's okay. We can have strong feelings about things. I have strong feelings about this because I think it's just an insult to Christ, and I think the people holding to the non-preexistence of Christ are going to be ashamed of their position when they find out that Christ is greater than they think he is. And I would love to spare them that. But I also discovered that, you know, I really shouldn't have called it a cult. I was taken to task for that. That is that the people who believe in the non-preexistence of Christ. And I have a new way to describe that. I'm going to get to that at the end of the show. You don't want to miss it. Keep watching. Thank you. So I really shouldn't have used the word cult. I should have used a scriptural word. So the scriptural word I want to use is sect. So this is definitely a sect within the body of Christ. Those who believe that Christ did not exist before Bethlehem, they've organized themselves into a sect. And it's a hardened sect, I found out. There's one guy named Michael. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I think he's from the Netherlands. But he said, you know, after watching your video, I'm more convinced than ever that Christ did not pre-exist. At first, I read it wrong. I thought he was saying that I'm more convinced than ever, thanks to your awesome verses and your awesome exposure of Peter May's philosophy. I'm convinced that he pre-existed. No, after my proof verses, and after my exposing of the philosophy and the multi-syllabic attempts at explaining plain verses, this guy's stuck in it even more. So, okay. What can I do? Not a thing. I have a feeling that if Jesus himself came down, tapped Michael on the shoulder and said, I pre-existed. I created everything. Please. No, but you have to watch Peter May's video. I just have a feeling. Wait, no. You're a figure of speech. This is a hardened group of people. I'm not saying they're hard. I'm saying their position is like in a lockbox. It seems to me like once you get in, you can't get out. And I was aiming for people on the fence. And I was very heartened to hear from you that several of you said you were on the fence. But after that video, after you watched yesterday's video, it made so much sense to you, because I make sense for a living, that you came off the fence to the good side. And so that just made my day to hear that. So this is a sect. Now, sects are not good, but Paul says, I'm going to quote the verse here, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, there must be sects among you. There must be. See, because some people are despairing about this. They're saying, I wish the body of Christ could be unified. Why can't we believe the same thing, even on the simplest thing, like I was lamenting about that. The simplest, most basic thing. The pre-existence of Christ all came into existence through him. Apart from him, nothing came into existence. And all these verses, I went through them yesterday. Can't we even agree on that? No, apparently not. But that's okay, because here's the verse. Paul says, there must be sects among you, that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent among you. So because of this sect, I get to exercise my scriptural interpretation skills, my spiritual knowledge and my understanding, after having worked in the Word for over 40 years. And this gives me an opportunity to make it apparent that I'm a qualified teacher on this topic. And I'm not dissuaded by human philosophy. And I'm not impressed by multisyllabic attempts at trying to make plain verses say what they're not saying. And I'm not one to break rules of interpretation, such as literal, if possible. Is it possible? Can you folks who believe in the non-preexistence of Christ, I'm going to get I got a better handle for you, a better title. I'm going to give it to you at the end of the show. So hang on. I'm going to ask you folks, is it possible that John 1:1 and John 1:10, that the entirety of the first 10 verses of John is talking about Jesus Christ? Verse 10 is definitely talking about Jesus Christ. He uses the pronoun him. Nothing came into a being apart from him. So could you admit that it's possible? Then the rule of interpretation is literal, if possible. If it's possible, then Jesus Christ creating everything, all exists through him, is literal. And it's not figurative, like Peter May said. Peter May says it's figurative. Watch yesterday's video. I exploded that. I don't want to go through it again. Okay, but this gives me an opportunity. I'm thankful for this. When I realized this is a sect, and so I can show myself approved and qualified, and that's good for me. I mean, I'm not heralding myself. I'm just teaching against something that I know is wrong based on Scripture and on my spiritual knowledge, based on the Word of God, correctly translated, understanding figures of speech, understanding laws of interpretation, understanding the different kinds of figures of speech. And so, yeah, this is all coming to the fore. So I thank you. I thank you for that. Paul says there must be these sects. So don't be disturbed about it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be. Okay? I get the opportunity to expose, rebuke, and entreat. I didn't want to, but I got the opportunity because of the sect. But I see nothing here that disqualifies anyone in this sect from being in the body of Christ, okay? So I'm hearing that some people are disfellowshipping other people over this. Some people are not talking to other members of the body of Christ over this. You must not do that. Don't. Let us press for the unity of the Spirit. We might not have unity of teaching. We don't. But again, look at this as an opportunity instead of a roadblock to fellowship. Look at it as an opportunity to show yourself qualified and approved by God in front of everyone. It's an opportunity. But the people in this sect are still in the body of Christ. I don't see anything about this belief. I mean, it is disparaging to Christ. It is insulting to Christ. It is demeaning to Christ. It's a damaging doctrine. It's going to be burned up at the dais of Christ like a dry marshmallow in a campfire. And the people who hold to it are going to be ashamed of themselves. All that. But still in the body of Christ. Paul says that some will be saved as through fire. We're all going to go through the fire at the Deus of Christ. It's a figurative fire. It's not literal. Don't worry. But all the things that we have that aren't right, we all have things that aren't right. Okay? This is a big thing that's not right. That's why I go after it. But we all have little things, little issues, and even the personal issues we've had with each other. These things are going to be straightened out at the Deus of Christ. But I would spare these people that experience if I could. If I can't, then I can't. What can you do? It's a hardened group. They're convinced. So, let me read you. The title of this video is, so please, don't disfellowship anyone over this. I don't want to hear that. That saddens me. It ought not be. Okay, the title of this video is, I get my ass kicked on this topic, and here it comes. Are you ready for this? It's not like you think. This is from Laura Butler. I love this. Okay, but I'm going to be critical of it. I'm going to praise it. On the other hand, here we go. Laura Butler. I didn't see this one coming. This is a public comment, so. Love you, Martin. That's a great way to start. Great way to start any comment. But I have to challenge you on this. All of your arguments are completely sound. So my problem is not with what you're saying at all. It's what you're not saying. I see you running cover for this cult by not coming out and calling it what it is. I thought, wait a minute, I did call it a cult. Let me go on. You are friends with a few of these guys, and it may be causing you not to see just how serious this error is. How about that? I'm being accused of being too soft on this sect, which is amazing. That's so refreshing, because usually, Martin, can't you soften it a little bit? Can't you be less, like, obvious or less critical? Just be a nice guy for a while. This person is saying, you're too nice of a guy, Martin. You know these people, they're your friends, and so you're being too soft on them. How refreshing this is. Back to the quote, this doctrine is teaching about another Jesus who cannot save. I agree that this is teaching about another Jesus. Or I should say a demoted. You know, it's very borderline there, Laura, whether it's another Jesus. It's definitely a demoted Jesus. It's a demoted Jesus. Another Jesus who cannot save. Okay, I might have to take issue with that. You cannot believe, this is Laura, you cannot believe that Christ died for our sins unless you first understand who the Christ is. That's true. And I have to say that the people who are forward, the people in that sect, they don't understand who Christ is. I hate to say it. Aaron Welch does not understand who Christ is. Peter May does not understand who Christ is. Norman LaBelle does not understand who Christ is. And I believe that these men have disqualified themselves from being able to teach about Christ because they've missed something so huge, so important, so big. And really so inexcusable, because the scriptures are just laden with it, that they're not qualified to teach on Christ. I hate to say it, but she's right. And when I especially realized that this is a sect and not a cult, it drew me to the word qualified in that passage. There must be sects among you that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent. Anyone teaching that all did not come into existence through Christ, that Christ did not predate Abraham, that Christ did not have a glory with the Father before the world was, that Christ was not the Son of God before he came to Bethlehem. All these awful things, you don't know who Christ is, which is sad. Back to the quote, the sum of the words are written of him. Not some of the words, a little play on words, the sum of the words, that is all the words are written about Christ, are there. That touches on what I just said, that it's everywhere in Scripture. There's no excuse for not understanding who Christ is. So the sum of the words are written of him, not some of the words. It's not just stripping his glory of preexistence. It's stripping him of his identity and his position between God and humanity. Yes, it is doing that. It's stripping him of his position. That's why I call it a demotion. Christ cannot be the second Adam and thus fulfill his commission to save the world unless all was created through him. Now, you know, I want to agree with that. And I struggled for hours thinking about this. Is it true that he can't be the second Adam unless all was created through him? It's very important that all was created through him. It's, I want to say, easier for him to be the second Adam if he predates Adam, which he does. He predates Adam. If he postdates Adam, let me show you some. Let me draw a little chart for you here. Okay, so this is God. This circles God. This is going to be so rough. This circles God up here. And everything is out of God, right? So we have, it looks like a Christmas tree. Okay, all is out of God. Boom, here it comes, all about it. And then in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born on earth. So that puts him, oh, and by the way, Adam came out of God. So Adam is way up here early after God begins his creative wonders. And so Adam is there. And then Christ comes after Adam chronologically. So Christ is living and existing. Christ came under the shadow of Adam, under the complete shadow of Adam. And this is so demeaning, and it's a demotion. The truth is, of course, that Christ was the first created being, the image of God. The first thing God required was an image. So Christ actually predates Adam. So Adam is enclosed in Christ. Adam didn't come after, or Christ didn't come after Adam. Christ came before Adam. Before. He was only manifested as an Adamic human being chronologically after Adam. And that's really, you know, these people worry about giving the Trinitarians an open door to push their Jesus is God theory. But if I were you people in this sect, I would be more concerned about giving the eternal torment people an open door to say that, well, Christ can't get everyone that Adam condemned because he's living under the shadow of Adam. He came after Adam. He can't. His work doesn't cover as many people. Christ's work, since he came after Adam, doesn't cover as many people as Adam covered. All came through Adam. The entire human race was latent in Adam. Latent in Adam. But it wasn't latent in Christ. Not even Adam was latent in Christ. Nothing that was created was latent in Christ. Think about this. Adam was created before Christ. Eve was created before Christ. Freaking elephants were created before Christ. The spider was created before Christ. The flowers, the weeds, the freaking lilac bush was created before Christ. Satan was created before Christ, if I didn't say that. This is pitiful teaching. It really is not an understanding of who Christ is. Christ was the last thing, really, the last important piece to be created. The last. And it's just much more spiritual, not only because it's true, much more spiritual to see Adam as having come out of Christ. Adam, the entire human race being contained, being latent in Christ before it was latent in Adam. Let me say that again. That was good. The entire human race was latent in Christ before it was latent in Adam. This is why Christ can get everyone. This is why Christ can die for all who came out. He can die for everything because nothing came into being apart from him. So the whole creation except for God was latent in Christ. This is why it's so easy to see now. This is why, since he contains it, since it all came out of him and he came out of God, then it's much easier to see how everything can return to him. But if he was the last thing created, and if Adam existed before him, then, you know, he's playing catch-up. Christ has to play catch-up. And I know he could still do it. God could still appoint him to be the last Adam, even if he's coming after Adam, way, way after Adam. He could still be appointed by God to do the job. But it's much more difficult to see. It's much more improbable. But again, when you know the truth that all creation was first in Christ, then you can see how he temporarily loses it on purpose, for a purpose, to bring the creation through an experience of evil and then bring it back to himself. So this is a good post here by Laura Butler. I don't know who Laura Butler is. I've never met her. I don't remember commenting on here. She might end up saying, oh, don't you remember, Martin? I met you 5 years ago, or that's quite possible. So Christ cannot be the second Adam and thus fulfill his commission to save the world unless he was always created through him. I cannot say that is absolutely true. He could still be said to be the second Adam by God. Let's go on. Just as all humanity was in Adam's loins, and thus his death passed on to all humanity, even so, all creation of heaven, earth, and subterranean was within Christ before Adam. Amen. Sister, that was beautiful, and that is true. A mere descendant of Adam cannot be in the position to die for our sins. I take objection only to one word here, that is mere. He was not a mere descendant of Adam. Even if he did not predate Adam, he was not a mere descendant because, of course, his mother was of the human race, but his father was God. The sperm did not come from Joseph. In fact, there was no sperm at all. So he was divine and human at the same time. Laura goes on, I could go on and on about this. I feel like escaping to get a root canal myself just listening to your show today. Not because I disagree with you, but because this doctrine is so noxious and toxic. It's gangrene. It is gangrene. This teaching is gangrenous because it's spreading. People are hearing it and being seduced by it. Just like Paul said, remember, he spoke of two members of the ecclesia, Hymenaeus and Philetus, he calls them out by name, who were teaching that the resurrection had already occurred and were subverting the faith of some, subverting it, screwing it up. And Paul called them out. I see, I don't want to say, shun their teaching for sure. I wouldn't go to their teaching. And this brings up the point, like, how wrong does somebody have to be before you say, okay, they're totally disqualified as a teacher. See, I can't go that far. I mean, Aaron Welch teaches beautifully on the two gospels. Beautifully. He's exposed Clyde's teaching on this Acts 28 thing just brilliantly. Teaches great on the sovereignty of God, on the salvation of all, on Israel. I cannot say, because it's just not true, that Aaron is a disqualified teacher. No, it's not true. He's disqualified on this topic. If I was having a conference on the nature of Christ, I would not invite Aaron to speak. No. Any other topic, yes. I don't know where the line is as far as how many things do people have to get wrong. I don't want to mention anybody else here, but it's gangrene. Call it out like it is, Martin. This is denial of Christ. This is Antichrist. Well, it's not a denial of Christ. It's a demoting of Christ. It's a demeaning of Christ. It's a misunderstanding of who Christ is. I am going to stop now because I'm getting so noxious. Ah, this lady's on fire. I like it. This is as serious as denying the resurrection of Christ and turning it into a lifeless metaphor. That's what Peter May did. Peter May turned the creator of all. Remember, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth. God was not alone when he created the heavens and the earth. By the Elohim, Christ was with him. To turn Christ's activity, as Peter May did, into a metaphor, into a figure of speech, into a thing, into an it, is just terrible. I wish I could expect these guys to say, you're right, Martin, but I don't know. This seems like a fly trap or something. People can't get out of it. So I don't see anything here that knocks people out of the body of Christ. Christ still died for our sins. He was appointed the Savior by God. He could have been appointed the Savior by God even if he did not pre-exist Adam, simply because God could say, this is the one I chose to do this. That could never have been if he was completely of humanity. If he was a mere human being, that is, sperm of Joseph, egg of Mary. No, he would be in the same condition we were in, but he was not, because he was supernaturally generated. But he was supernaturally generated. It's the first thing that was supernaturally generated by God. So I thought of something else when I was running today. I'm going to get to this great revelation here. You'll see. John 3:16. Remember, we were talking yesterday. Peter says that Christ did not become the Son of God. If I'm not mistaken, he says did not become the Son of God until he was born. Norman LaBelle said he did not become the Son of God until his public baptism, when God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And I made the argument, it doesn't matter when you're called the Son of God. You can certainly be the Son of God before you're actually publicly called the Son of God. I quoted the verse from Luke 2, when Jesus was lost at age 12. His parents found him and he said, don't you know I'm supposed to be about my Father's work? So he's already the Son of God at age 12. But then I thought, I was thinking John 3:16. Thus God loves the world, that he sent his only begotten Son. He sent him. Sent who? A metaphor? Sent what? An it? A metaphor? The Word as a collection of vowels and consonants? No, he sent him. Who? His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son was sent. A figure of speech wasn't sent to the earth. A metaphor wasn't sent to the earth. That's a figure of speech. He was sent to the earth, and he was already the Son of God. He was the Son of God when he came out of God. A son is generated from a father and a mother. Christ was generated by God. The first thing God required was an image. People, the first thing God required, because he's inaudible, intangible, unperceivable, the first thing God needed was an image, a discernible image. And that's why Christ was the firstborn of all creation. That's why he was God's creative original. That's why God has no image until Bethlehem. God has no representation of himself until Bethlehem. This is stupider and stupider the more I think about it. Drew Costin said, it's not right to call this stupid. You shouldn't call this stupid. I love Drew Costin. He does proofreading for me. He's a great guy. He says, you shouldn't use the word stupid. I said, no, stupid is the perfect word to use, because that word stupid drove people off the fence, because I called it like it was. Laura, you got to admit. You got to admit, Laura. Give me a little credit here. I did push people off the fence, and you got to use words like that. And to think, it's just so bad to think that, to think what I just said. All right, this is what I found out. I found out this from reading all these comments. I found out for sure. Now I know for sure that this whole teaching is based on a reaction to the Trinity. Because the people in the sect said, so you're telling me you believe that Jesus is God. Oh, so you're telling me that you believe the Trinity. Oh, so you're telling me you believe the Catholic Church is correct. Oh, so you're telling me all this. So it really confirmed for me. And Aaron Welch told me himself directly. I said, what's your motive behind this? And he said, to take away this from the Trinitarians. The Trinitarians use the preexistence of Christ. And I said, they use it illicitly. It doesn't prove anything. Because Jesus Christ still came out of God. He's still not God, even though he was the very first thing God created. So you're not... The Trinitarians are going to do dumb things whether they have this or not. But this is the motive. This is it. And I'm going to say something to you now, and I completely believe this 100%. I wish that there was some kind of alternate universe where the Trinity and the Catholic Church didn't exist. Because I tell you this, this teaching would not exist. This teaching of the non-preexistence of Christ would not exist in a world void of the Trinity and void of the Catholic Church, from which came the Trinity. Because this teaching is such a stretch of plain verses. There's no way anybody would try so hard to come up with this if they weren't reacting to something that in their minds is even more heinous, which is that Jesus Christ is not what he says he is, the Son of God, not what he says he is. And so this is a total, and Aaron told me this directly, this is a complete reaction to the Trinity. This doctrine of the non-preexistence of Christ would not exist if there was no such thing as the Trinity in the world. It wouldn't exist. And I would love for there to be an alternate universe somehow where we could have this, the same word of God that we have now, but no Trinity in the world. This teaching, I'm 100% sure, I would be proven right if this alternate universe could be created. This teaching would not exist. It's a complete overreaction to the Trinity. The example I gave yesterday was a mayor of a town finding out that the parking meters weren't being fed properly. People were getting away with, parking violations. And what he decided to do to solve the problem was to blow up the city, nuke the city. Yeah, did you solve the problem? Yeah. But it's a bit of an overreaction, don't you think? Yeah. So it's like these people in the sect are driving along and they see the Trinity coming in, like a car moving in to their right. And instead of a measured correction, a measured reaction to avoid a crash, they crank the wheel completely away from it, turn their car over 15 times, and everybody in the car dies. But at least we didn't hit the car that swerved into our lane. At least we didn't hit the car. This is an overreaction to the Trinity. That's why I have a new name for this sect. They are the Tories. The Tories. T-O-R-I-E-S. Where do you get that, Martin? T-O-R is an acronym. Trinity Overreaction. T-O-R. Trinity Overreaction. This is an overreaction to the Trinity. That's all this is. T-O-R. Trinity Overreaction. Thus, they're the Tories. And here's the thing. Here's the revelation of the day. These people think they're just getting one over on the Trinity. Oh, we're going to do something awful to the Trinitarians. We're going to take away their little, any chance they have to say that Jesus Christ is God. Because we're going to say Jesus Christ didn't even exist before Bethlehem. Therefore, there's no way he can be God. Again, I say there's still no way he can be God if he came out of God. But anyway, that's how they roll. Oh, we're going to get one over on the Trinity. But what has happened? The Trinity has got one over on them. They think they've beaten the Trinity, but they are tools of the Trinity because the Trinity has caused this overreaction. And now these people have gone way far the other way, like the Trinity has gone this way. The Trinity makes Christ more than what he is. They make him God himself, which demeans his obedience. It takes away his faithfulness to God. It takes away his obedience to God. It takes away him going to the cross and dying and suffering death It takes away his faith. It does all these things by them making God more than he is. But because these individuals are so overreacting, pulling the steering wheel, we're going to not give the... And this forgetting scripture, it's just like, whoa, we're going to take everything away from them. Whoa. They've actually created an opposite of the Trinity, but it's not opposite in a good way. It's opposite in that it's extreme the other way. While the Trinitarians make God more than he is, while the Trinitarians make Christ more than he is, the Tories make Christ less than he is. And the Trinity, the doctrine itself, if I can personify it, is laughing. The Trinity says, they think they really screwed me. But actually, look what I've done. I've caused them, by their overreaction, to demean Christ, to take away Christ's greatest glory, to demote him, to humiliate him. So, but in thinking that they're fighting the Trinity, oh, we really overcame the Trinity. No, you're victims of the Trinity. You're tools of the Trinity. You're owned by the Trinity. You're the counterpart of the Trinity. These are twin heresies now. The Trinity and the non-preexistence of Christ. Twin heresies because of your overreaction. Satan gets a double score. Good job. Satan gets a double score. Satan scores on both ends. Over here, he makes these people say that Christ is more than he is and thus denies the death of Christ and disqualifies millions of people from being in the body of Christ. And because of you people blowing up the city, overreacting, you Tories, Trinity overreaction, because of that, you're taking away his preeminence as the image of God, as the firstborn of all creation through whom all came into existence. You're taking that away. Satan is just rubbing his hands like, what? Look what he's done with the Trinity. Look what he's done. It's a double. It's a twofer. Satan got a twofer because of you. Satan's gotten a twofer. You're the opposite end of the spectrum. Satan got two birds with one stone. You Tories, you're victims of the Trinity. You haven't gotten one over on the Trinity at all. No, you think you've gotten one over, took away their ace. No, you're victims of the Trinity. Satan developed the Trinity, did he not? Since you're reacting to something that Satan did, you're ending up producing something that is also a spawn of Satan because it is a complete overreaction. The Trinity has done a number on you. So freaked out by it. So freaked out by the Trinity. It's done a number on you. You haven't conquered it. You've become suckers of it. Look what you've done to Christ. You think that's an improvement over what Satan did to Christ with the Trinity? Jesus, I would almost rather have the Trinity than this crap you Tories are putting out. I'd almost rather have the Trinity, except that it denies the death of Christ. At least you're not denying the death of Christ. But man, you've taken away his huge chunk of his glory. I'll end with this. Jesus was not born under the shadow of Adam. Jesus Christ predates Adam. All of Adam came out of Christ. All creation came out of Christ. Christ owned it all. He was the generator of all that is created apart from God. God is not created, of course. So it was all in Christ before it became in Adam. It wasn't all in Adam before it became in Christ. That's heretical. That's awful. I'd like to make it bad enough to say some of the things that Laura said, but in all honesty, I can't. Nobody who's holding to this thing is not in the body of Christ. They shouldn't be this fellowship, for God's sake. They shouldn't be not talked to. No, these are still my friends. But yeah, maybe I was a little too easy on it. I want you people to think of what you've done. The Trinity has used you. You're not champions over it, not at all. You're victims of it.